Amen. Let's, if we would bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Your Father, we have assembled here this morning in the name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have assembled in the name that you gave your Son by inheritance. And we know that we have the same name, Father, because your Apostle Paul told us that for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole heaven and earth is named. Therefore, Father, we come in that name of Jesus. And we ask that you would be with us, Father, and help us this morning, Lord, as we would break the bread of life. And help us, Father, to have a better understanding how it is that we have also that name by inheritance. Be with us in the study of your word this morning and help us to gain the knowledge and the understanding of yourself, that we might have a knowledge and understanding of our own position in your family that we must have as sons. Guide us by thy great Spirit through thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning for our text, I would like to, for us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll read from verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I even understood as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now our study this morning will follow this thought of the Apostle Paul, which he has given us as the same thought expressed in quite different words by William Branham, although the same thought, using a different illustration, using different words, from the masterpiece. And this morning we'll pick up at paragraph 11 in our study in this series of the masterpiece. This will be number 12. Now from paragraph 11, Brother Branham said, so we realize that we're here in a negative form. And as long as there is a negative, there has to be a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive. You see? Because it's the positive that makes the negative. Like you had a negative picture of some object. There has to be an object somewhere to strike that lens, or there wouldn't be any negative. So when we see that our life is here in the negative, and knowing that we're in the image of this, of some life somewhere, then we know that there is a positive somewhere that the light has struck, and it's reflected something here on earth. And we are only that reflection. Now think about that. Our life here is just a reflection, he says. The genuine object is somewhere else. And if that isn't, then I'm the worst deceived man in the world. I've spent my life in vain. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's there, and that's why we're here. Now this morning I would like to focus our thoughts on this statement that Brother Branham is making here concerning the negative and the positive. He's talking about an image that is in the positive that is also identifiable by what we can see in the negative. Notice he said, we realize that we're here in a negative form. And as long as there is a negative, there has to be a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive, see? Because it's the positive that makes the negative. Like you had a negative picture of some object, there has to be an object somewhere to strike that lens, or there wouldn't be any negative. Remember when we studied the word enmorph, and the definition of enmorphe means to strike the image. So there has to be an object somewhere in order for us to have this negative that we're in now. Now this is important to understand because it has to do with whom we are, and why we act as we do, and why we have an inner drawing to do what is right, to do what is good, to do what is just. The Apostle John told us about this negative being drawn to the positive in 1 John chapter 3. So if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll pick up at verse 2, he said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So John is telling us that we are sons right now. But what we see is not clear to us. And yet we know, according to the law of reproduction, that every seed must bring forth after its own kind, which is its own nature. Notice this is like a shadow. A shadow shows you the shape of the object that it's reflecting, but it's not very clear. But the closer the positive comes to the shadow, the clearer the shadow becomes, and the more definitive the shadow shows the detail of the positive. Let's say you look at your hand and a shadow, for an example. I can see a shadow because I got a light directly over. And when my hand is way up, it's just I can still see the fingers, but it's just a big old fat hand. But as it gets closer and closer and closer, I can see more definition in the shadow until I can see actually the indentations where the fingers are and everything else. And John said, "Beloved, now are we sons, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You see, the further you are from the object or from the positive, the less clear it is what you are. But the more clear you come to the positive, or the closer you get to the positive, the more clear the negative becomes. So you see, he's talking in a type here. And he's saying that although we are now sons, yet it will take the glorious light of Christ's appearing to truly make known what we are already. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 23, or he didn't tell us, he told the Pharisees. He said, "Fill up the measure of your fathers," which means to complete the portion or the pedigree of their fathers. And then he told them their father was a murderer and he was a liar to begin with. So in fact, he said that they must bring forth the nature that was in that seed which came forth from their father. For every seed must bring forth after its kind. That's the law of reproduction in Genesis 1 verse 11. And in 1 John chapter 3, we're told that we will manifest the nature of sons of God because that is what we already are. And we are told that that will not happen until we know who he is. And so we are told that when Christ appears, or phanerous, which means to manifest in one's true character, for when Christ will manifest to us in his true character, then we shall also manifest in our true character as well. And that's a promise. So I hope that you can see the importance of the appearing of Christ to us. Because the appearing is to do something to us that will change the way that we look at ourselves, because we will change the way that we look at Christ. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the seeing him as he is helps you to know who you are. Now, if you are a oneness or Trinitarian, you are not seeing him as he really is. So this tells us that the understanding of the Godhead is essential to seeing him as he truly is, because if you do not see him as he truly is, you will never know who you truly are. And I ask the question, how can you understand your relationship to God as your father if you do not understand that the Son of God is your older brother? And if you believe that Jesus was his own father, then you've got a screwy understanding of family. Because I do not know, nor can I ever perceive, how a father could be his own son and vice versa. And if you cannot understand the relationship between a father and a son, how can you understand your own relationship with God? You see? And every man that has this hope, he says, purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now, this tells you that when you see the revelation of Christ, and you come to understand who he is and why he's here, then you will come to fully understand who you are, and you will begin to act different, you begin to talk different, you begin to live different, you begin to think different. When you know who you really are. Like Brother Ram told us the story of the slave who acted out very different from the other slaves. So they thought, well, perhaps they treat him different than the others. The man said, no, that's not it. Then they said, well, perhaps he's feeding them better than the others. He said, no, that's not it. And as it turned out, he acted different because he knew who his father was. His father was a king. And he was a son of a king. So he acted different and he held his head high. And he did not act like a slave because he knew who his father was. And that is what Paul is telling us in our opening text. He said, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when Christ appears, we as sons will know who we are because we'll know who he is. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child because I understood as a child. And that's because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking and childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now from his sermon explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Branham said, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's just trying to put something off to somewhere else. Say, well, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated in heavenly places. Now we have all power in heavens and earth. See, we have it now, not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We've got it now. Right now we are sons. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he has, past tense, glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Whew, he says, wasn't that deep? All right, we'll find out whether it's right or not. And then he quotes the scripture. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here rather, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. That's a scary thought. And the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12 and 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's God's mercy, he says, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, that means sanctified, set aside for service, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the NIV puts it this way. It says, which is your spiritual act of worship. So we ask, what is worship? What is sacrifice? Your sacrifice is what you offer back to God, what he has revealed to you. If he's revealed that you are a son, his son, I think your sacrifice is going to offer back to him your body as a living sacrifice. You're going to say, Father, for this purpose have I come into this world, to glorify you. You see? Therefore, if he has revealed to you that you are a sons, and you will receive your transformation by the renewing of your mind, which Paul says here, then you begin to act in accordance with the change of the mind. If you say that your mind has changed and your actions haven't changed, then you're only fooling yourself because you're not fooling anyone else. Paul goes on to say in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. So you see, when the mind is renewed, it brings with it an outward performance or conformance, as well as an inner change of the desires. Now from questions and answers, Brother Branham said, what you are here, now get this in your mind now, I'm going to close. But what you are here is a sign that you are something somewhere else. I'm going to close. Excuse me. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. So get that out of your mind. You'll never be able to perfect this body. It's doomed to begin with. It's got to die. It's got to be changed. It's got to be stripped away because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. Oh, you'll have a body. But it won't be this carcass. It won't be he said, sown in dishonor and come forth in honor. So this body has got to die. The seed has got to rot for the life to be released. But we do have a glorified body. Now, this body will be changed. God will use his basic structure. He'll basically take the atoms, rearrange them the way they're supposed to be rearranged. It's good to have a rearranged atom. God'll do that. You see? And so he says, get this in your mind. I'm going to close. But what you are here is a sign that you are something else. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. But every man and woman here that is a Christian, every person that is a Christian here, now is already glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you've got another body. And you won't have some other time. You have right now. Right now, there's another body waiting for you. If this one should perish. Could you think of that? Study that for just a minute. You're not alone. You're not alone. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. In the book of Ezekiel, so you see, if you could only get that in your mind, that God sees every action you say, or everything you say, everything you do, every thought that goes in your mind. He knows it when you're thinking it. That ought to make you clean up your lives. That ought to make you think right, do right, act right. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, we read, "A new heart, a new heart, a new heart also will I give you." Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Now, if he promised a new heart, what does the word a mean? One. Exactly. If he promised a new heart, then there is only one new heart that we, is we one? That we shall receive. "And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit," by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. "And I will put my spirit within you," and what will his spirit in us do? "And cause you to walk in my statutes." Cause you. Whether you like it or not, he causes you to walk in his statutes. "And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." No matter what William Branham wanted to do, he couldn't get away from God. And if you are truly a son or daughter of God, no matter what you want to do, Brother Branham said, as he said, "My voice will haunt you till the day you die." No matter what you want to do, it's not what you want, it's what God has for you to do. In Ezekiel 11 and verse 9 we read, "And I will give them one heart." There's your A heart. "I will give them one heart." And notice God here is speaking very specific in this verse. He says one heart. "And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God." So we need to know what this one heart is, because he said that he would give us one heart and then a new spirit. And we find William Branham taught us that this new heart and this new spirit are. From his sermon, Impersonation of Christianity, paragraph 42, Brother Branham said, "So God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, but a new heart. That's your intellects that you think with, a new way of thinking." Now remember, he said a new heart. So there's only one way of thinking that he's giving us. And from his sermon, Impersonation of Christianity, paragraph 43. You see, Paul told us, "Let the mind that was in Christ be in you." So you must receive the mind of Christ if we are to receive just one heart or one way of thinking. And in paragraph 43, he tells us what that new spirit is. He says, "Then I'll give you a new spirit." What's that? A new desire. So if you have a new way of understanding, his way of understanding, the mind of Christ, you'll have new desires. You see, it has to follow that way. He said you'll want to do right. So you see, if you receive the mind of Christ, you can't help but to have right desires. And again, from Impersonation of Christianity, 43b, he said, "Then notice the order of the scriptures. After you get a new heart and a new spirit," he said, "then I'll put my spirit." See? Oh, what? That's what the scripture says here. That's the order. That's the pneumatics or the numerical order of the scripture. A new heart. What's that? An understanding. A new desire. A new spirit. A new desire. And then my spirit. Why would God want to put his spirit in a spirit that has no desire for him? You see? Brother Ramson, you can hardly stand to be with yourself, much less with God. So God has to change that desire. He has to change your spirit. So you see, if God promised to give us one heart or one mind, it has to be the mind of Christ. For he said in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. So we see that it is necessary to have the mind of Christ if we are to understand the thoughts of the Father. Now, in getting back to this thought of the negative and the positive, and actually that's what we're talking about, because the more that we see Him, the more that we want to be like Him. The hand, His hand, coming closer to our shadowy existence makes us more like Him. From his sermon, "There is a man that can turn on the light," Brother Branham said, "like my hand here in a shadow. It's a shadow, only it's darker as my hand becomes more." In other words, if you hold your hand, and if you've got a light above you, just hold your hand on a book or something, and as your hand is closer to the light, further away from the object, notice the shadow is lighter. But as you get closer and closer and closer, the shadow becomes darker and darker and darker. So he says, like my hand here is in a shadow. It's a shadow, only it's darker as my hand becomes more. It's a negative here, a positive here. And as a negative and positive, it gets denser and darker, 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 and finally it claps together, and a negative and a positive becoming one. That's when church and Christ unites together as a bride, with the same spirit that was in him will be upon her. When that church comes from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost into the last days, and honing her down now for the coming of the Lord. Oh, don't be the rough part on it, Pentecostal brother. Shine up with the word and believe every bit of it. So you see, the more and more and more he's coming into the church, the more and more and more the bride is becoming like him. That's why I say I believe that what God is having me do going around the world, as I've been doing, is for the purpose of getting the brothers to forsake their own thinking and receive the mind that God gave the prophet. Because if you can't receive the mind that God gave the prophet, if you can't get that reflection from him, you won't get it from nowhere else. And how are you going to become like Christ if you don't have his mind? And how are you going to be adopted to wit the redemption of the body? How are you going to get a body change if you don't have the mind of the Father? Brother Branham said that the Son cannot be adopted until he has the mind of the Father. When he has the mind of the Father, he gets adopted, then the Father puts his name on his check. Like Brother Branham says, you have all the power now. Now you're sons. It's just that you don't have the mind of the Father yet. You see? But as the negative comes closer and closer and closer, as the positive comes closer to the negative has got to become more like the positive. As Christ comes more and more and more into the church, the closer you get to Christ, the more you look like Christ. You know, no wonder people thought Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. No wonder they mistook him for being Jesus Christ. He was so close to Christ in his actions, his thoughts, his deeds, his speech, that people mistook him for being Jesus Christ. Look, I'd like to have that testimony. Not be known for, being a ruffian or a hellion, but I'd love to be known as people mistaking me for Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, don't get into those isms and things, as we see going on today. Don't be astonished at that, because that headstone's coming and it's crying, Abba, Father, pretty soon. My God, my God. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. Do you see it? You know what I mean? It's Christ now taking the rags of yesterday, the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, and so forth, and he's putting it through the process. What kind of a process? A process of the Holy Spirit, what they had plus, making it till he is pressing his own image. When the church and Christ becomes one in union, God grant it, I trust that you see it, if you do see it. Jesus Christ was the image of the Father, the exact impress. You take a ring that's got an insignia on it, you put it into softened wax, you pull it out, the same insignia on the ring is going to be in that wax. God wants us soft and supple like wax so that he can stamp us with his approval, with his nature. You see? Notice Paul tells us the same thing in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 17. which he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. A shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And we see also a glimpse of this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Notice darkness is their shadow. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death, this shadow? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. And Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn, or that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we're talking about a process. Becoming sons. You're now already sons. But he said, to them that received him, to them gave he power to become sons. To them gave he an ability to make a right decision, to act like a son should act. And again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face, no traditions, no creeds, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, were changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From God's chosen place of worship, paragraph 21, Brother Bram said, now, when a shadow comes across the floor, you can tell whether it's a man, a woman, or a beast, or whatever it might be, because it casts a shadow upon the floor. And as that shadow gets shorter, the shadow being the negative, and there cannot be a negative without a positive. Therefore, when the positive becomes closer to the negative is swallowed up in the positive. I like that. The negative, that's you and me. When the negative gets closer to the positive, that's Christ. The negative gets swallowed up in the positive. Brother Branham came to the place before he died. A week before, he told Brother Vail, he said, all my thoughts are of God. The shadow and the positive comes together, and that's what makes it then a positive. And if all the old things of the Bible said in the Old Testament were shadows and things to come, then therefore Christ was the shadow of things to come. So we can see by the Old Testament types where he chose to put his name and to where now. Now as the shadow crosses the floor, I said, is the negative being a type. So we, the worshipers, also can see the shadow of the Old Testament fading into the positive of the new. Now, all the feasts, the holidays, all the tabernacle, all the wood, everything in the tabernacle, everything typed Christ. All the offerings, all the laws, everything was a type of Christ. We've been through it time after time here in the tabernacle. Then we see that by these that every creed, every church, every denomination is left behind. It is not even in the race at all. Every creed, every church, every denomination is completely left out. There is no place for them at all. Why? Because they're pointing to self. They're pointing to organization. They're pointing to church. They're pointing to something other than Christ. They're not a shadow of him. They're a shadow of themselves, some organization. In Hebrews 10 and verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of that thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The law cannot do it. Legalism cannot do it. Works programs cannot do it. But drawing near to Christ can. From the signs of his coming, Brother Branham said, this stump's grown from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost and now is honing out those Pentecostals and those that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and shall come someday the headstone, Christ Jesus, in these last days. And will have to have a ministry just exactly like his whole spirit as it gets closer, 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 closer. The negative becomes so positive that after a while the negative and positive blends together, church and Christ, to make one. For we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, amen. You believe it? It shall be light in the evening time. Amen. We're here today. You believe it? Now, Brother Branham told Brother Vail, as I said, about 1 week before he died, he said, Lee, He said, I've come to the place that all my thoughts are of God. That means he had become so Christ-centered that he had received the very mind of Christ. And we know that the doxa of Christ is the opinion, the judgment, and the very assessment of Christ. And Paul told us when he comes to be glorified and doxed in his saints in that day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same... What does that say there? Anybody got their Bibles open? That you all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let this mind be in Christ, or that was in Christ, be in you. In closing, I'd like to read from paragraph 11 again of the masterpiece where Brother Branham said, so we realize that we're here in a negative form, and as long as there is a negative, there has to be a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive, see? Because it's the positive that makes the negative. Like you had a negative picture of some sort. There has to be an object somewhere to strike that lens, or there wouldn't be any negative. So when we see that our life here is in the negative, and knowing that we're in the image of some life somewhere, then we know that there is a positive somewhere that that light has struck from. And it's reflected something here on earth. And we are only that reflection. The genuine object is somewhere. And if that isn't, I'm the worst deceived man in the world. I've spent my life in vain. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is there. That's why we're here. So what I believe Brother Branham is telling us in this paragraph is that the great appearing of Christ to us in this hour is for the purpose of bringing us into conformity with the mind of Christ and the image of the Son of God. Just as the shadow shows the image of the real object, so too the closer we come to Christ, the more glory shall be revealed in us. For we have the mind of Christ and we know what to do with His Word. In closing, Brother Branham said, from the spoken word is the original seed. He said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See? John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her. Not even death, for if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah here. And here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Let me repeat that. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and so is the mind of Christ. To know what he wants done with his word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them any different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word, to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. Wow. Do you know what God wants you to do with his word? Well, first of all, he wants you to live it. Secondly, he wants you to speak it. Thirdly, he wants you to think it. Actually, you should think it before you live it and speak it, because if you're not thinking it, you won't be speaking it and living it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we are so grateful for your divine presence here this morning and for the promise that you will not leave us nor forsake us, but that your pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium, even though your prophet is no longer with us. We are not made up like he was made up, to be able to see you in spirit form. But Father, we have your word, and that's good enough for us. For we have confidence in your word, that if you said it, then you are here to ensure that it will come to pass. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to your word, to your plan, to our roles as your sons. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name, thy obedient Son. Amen. We turn to number 57 in our...
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Last verse now.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace thy victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.